Well, let's get into the Word of God this morning. And this morning, I want to continue what I preached about last week. I preached a sermon called, I Will Build My Church. We focused on Matthew chapter 16, which has been our key passage for 2018, where we shared about Jesus asking the disciples, who do men say that I am? Some say Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter, or Peter, of course, he answered, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we spoke about that and how we said, Jesus turned to him and said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, the word revealed, Greek word apokalypto, meaning to unveil something that was formerly disclosed, now open. And so flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And so we spoke about logos and rhema. We spoke about how God wants to give us rhema words. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Something that's inspired, something that's personal, something that's your psalm, your verse, your anointing, your breakthrough, your weapon of warfare. So on the count of three, I want you to shout out your favorite verse. Are you ready? Book, chapter, and verse. You know it. One, two, three. I love it too. It's mine as well. And some of you are so passionate about your psalm, so passionate about your verse, that if the person next to you decided to borrow it, you are going to karateize them. Why? Because it belongs to you. It's your revelation. It's something that God placed in your spirit. And that's what rhema does. Rhema equips you. Rhema strengthens you. Rhema inspires. Rhema excites. Rhema ignites. Rhema brings a dynamo from God that says, all things are possible in Jesus' name. So today we're going to build on that, and we're going to go to the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. Whilst you're turning there or flicking there in your iPad, iPhone, everything in between, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you that Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. We receive that in Jesus' name to the glory of God. And all of the Horizon Church people said, bring it on. Genesis chapter 2, the book of beginnings, verse 15 says, then the Lord took the man, that is Adam, and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. He's been assigned a task. He's been given dominion. He's been given authority. Verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man saying, from, here we go, any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, hence my trees, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Today I want to preach a word that I believe can transform our lives. I believe that if we grab a hold of this revelation and we allow the Holy Spirit to inspire and mark us with this word, I genuinely believe that our lives will never be the same. Now, our lives are filled with experiences. When you think about it, you have your favorite holiday destination. Think about the best holiday you've ever had. You came back 15 years younger. Who knows what I'm talking about this morning? The birth of your child, the day you got married, maybe the day that you got accepted into university, or for some of you who love sport this morning, the day you won the grand final. These are things that you remember. These are things that you never, ever forget. Our lives are filled with all kinds of experiences. Our lives are also filled with the not so good experiences. We went on a family holiday once to Broome, Western Australia, the north of WA. And so we booked a credible hotel, and it had a good reputation. We thought there was going to be a great family holiday. Our kids were quite young back then. We rocked up to the hotel, checked into our room, and there was hair everywhere. Now, that's one thing I cannot handle, people. Hair in the bathroom, so bad, there was hair in the bed. Now, if you want to grate my spirit And if you want me to flesh out, that's it right there. And so we called up the reception and we're like, there's hair everywhere. Has the thing even been cleaned? And it literally took them about 5 to 6 hours to come and respond. I just don't think the place had been clean. And so, of course, my memory, my experience of that location, well, let's say we never went back there again. Now, these experiences in our lives, they form within us what we refer to as a frame of reference. A frame of reference, essentially, is a set of ideas by which things are interpreted and we assign meaning. For example, if you go to a restaurant, you get great customer service, generally you would probably go back to that because your frame of reference tells you you had a great experience, therefore I will go back. If you go to a restaurant where they treat you really bad, the food takes 7 hours to come out. Come on, we've all been there before. You know what I'm talking about? Your frame of reference, your experience tells you, I'm not going to go back to that restaurant because of what happened. Now, Adam and Eve are in the garden. They're assigned a task, they're given dominion, they're given authority. And in fact, not just authority, they are given governing authority. I want to ask you a question this morning. Why would God give to somebody such authority, governing authority, when they have no frame of reference? They've never done this in the past. They never went to horticulture school and earned a double degree in tending gardens. They have no frame of reference. Those of you who perhaps own a business, a team manager, it's highly unlikely you will employ someone without a frame of reference in your sphere of work, your sphere of influence. You want to look at what these people or this person has done in the past in order to know whether they would be good for what needs to be done in the future. Come on, who's with me this morning? But God gives, come on church, God gives Adam and Eve authority, dominion, governing authority. He puts them into something where they have no frame of reference. Come on, you with me this morning, church? But the fact is, they do have a frame of reference. Because when we think of a frame of reference, we think about it from an experiential point of view. When God refers to a frame of reference, it's the words that have come out of his mouth. Because if you look at the scripture, it says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, the frame of reference, the tree of life, that God has called us to live from is not experiential, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. From the tree of life, we draw from what God has spoken and what God has said. That is our frame of reference. So God gives them governing authority. He assigns a task to them, dominion, simply from the word that came out of his mouth. And Satan, since the Garden of Eden, has been doing his very best to move us away from the tree of life and move us towards the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Look at this verse on the screen. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say? So Satan introduces something, and that is, I need to move Adam and Eve away from what God has said, the tree of life, and I'm going to question the word that they've heard, and I need to move them away from that to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So how does he do that? He does that by questioning the word that has come out of the mouth of God. Every time the enemy wants to bring discouragement, he wants to frustrate the plans of God in our lives, he will always question the word that has come out of the mouth of God, and he wants to bring us to a place where experiential knowledge governs our lives. Simply by moving us to this, he moves us away from what God has said. Now watch how he does it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. He questions the word. He questions what's come out of the mouth of God. And through reasoning, a doorway is open to move from the tree of life. A doorway is open to experiential knowledge. And it's through experiential knowledge that decisions are then made. And through reasoning and questioning the word that has come out of the mouth of God, Adam and Eve eventually move over to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, well, it acts as a reference point in our lives, of course. It affects our decision making. And of course, based on past experience, we determine what's good for the future. If some church folk hurt me in the past and they were really nasty, well, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil tells me, be careful of church folk people because they will hurt you. The tree of life says, God says, you can trust in me. Well, if my employer was really bad, really nasty, hurt me, experience says, you just got to watch out for people who will, these people, they'll damage your life. You got to build those walls around your emotions because they will hurt you. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil wants to govern our lives through sensory knowledge. If you have a bad experience with perhaps someone who betrayed you and hurt you, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil says build the guardrails because people will rip you off. And sense knowledge is faith's worst enemy. Sense knowledge seeks to destroy the word that God has given to us, and through reasoning wants to move us to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by the sensory mechanism of sight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So I'm not saying today that we need to ignore sensory mechanisms. They are there to assist us in the world that we live in. If something is hot, sensory mechanisms are going to tell you, don't touch it. If someone's veering into your lane and you're driving down Princess Highway, sensory mechanisms are going to tell you, slow down, because they're going to bash into you. They have their place, but they are not there to lead and guide our entire life. What's intended to lead and guide our lives is the truth that comes from God's word. And what Satan is attempting to do since the Garden of Eden is to move us away from the word that God spoke to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where all of our decisions in life are based around past experience. So let me give you an example of what I mean by this. Wednesday night, I'm with my son Wade. We're driving back from basketball training. We were towards the city, and I turn on Google Maps because Google Maps reveals all things. Amen. We're driving along, and Google Maps tells me to go in a particular direction that the previous week I went down the M5. Google Maps saying, no, you got to keep going on Princess Highway. My brain is telling me, well, last week we went down the M, it was fast, get on the freeway, off you go, come out the back way through Sutherland, bring it on, Alfred's Point, boom, over the bridge, we're home. And so I'm having this argument in my brain, no, Google Maps is wrong, I want to go that way. And Google Maps is saying, no, go this way. And in my mind, I thought, well, last week we went that way, so it worked. I'm going to go that way again. I get on the M5. What I didn't realize is that there was an accident on there. And man, I am stuck. It's a standstill. Because my past experience took me a certain way. I'm leaning into an experience, whereas God actually knows best if we listen to His word. And so what I'm calling us to do today is to come back to a place of trust, of surrender, yielding to what the word of God says, not how people treated you, not what they did wrong to you, because that'll restrict your life, that'll make your life smaller, that'll bring into your life boundaries that God never actually intended to have. Those boundaries are actually making you smaller, making your world smaller. What God is actually calling us to is the tree of life. Simply because God spoke it. That was supposed to be their frame of reference. This is how Jesus said He would build His church. He would not build His church on a trend. He would not build His church on academia, social background, or even what we're offended with. Because we can build our lives according to what we're offended with and say, well, now I'm going to do completely opposite. That, in fact, is drawing from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. I want to draw from what the Word of God says. I want to draw from what the Bible says. I want to draw from what the Word of God says about me and about my future. So I want to give you three things this morning that God is calling us to and that will impact and influence and elevate our lives. Who wants their lives to be elevated in the purposes of God? When we choose to draw from the tree of life and not from experience, the first thing that it does, it'll bring into our lives, is a mark of distinction. A mark of distinction. Ever sat with someone who has a mark of distinction on their lives? When I was living in Adelaide, I had the opportunity to catch up with Pastor Andrew periodically. You sit with Pastor Andrew Evans, there is a mark of distinction on that man's life. You sit across the breakfast table with him, he could be talking about the Adelaide Crows Football Club. But there is a mark of distinction on that man's life. There's something about being around someone who has a mark of distinction. If you choose to be someone who does not build their lives on past experience, but simply because what God says, it will produce in you a mark of distinction. Now watch this. John chapter 17, verse 14. Jesus is praying for the disciples. He says, I have given them your word, your mark of distinction. And the world has hated them. Now, when I read this, it didn't make sense to me because it could have said, I have given them your word and they are blessed. It could have read that. Jesus said, I have given them your word and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So when it's talking about the world, it's talking about the spirit of this world. the word, or the word of God, excuse me, the word of God causes you to be separated from the things of this world, and it produces within you a mark of distinction. How I raise my children comes from the word of God. How I treat and honor my wife comes from the word of God. How I handle my finances comes from the word of God. The way I think comes from the word of God. How I treat people comes from the word of God, and it is in direct opposition to the spirit of this world. Because I'm drawing from the tree of life, not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. At the moment, I have become a basketball coach. I genuinely do not have the time, but on Saturdays, I am driving to Comets Basketball Stadium in Alexandria, and I am the coach, and Allison is the team manager. There you go. A force to be reckoned with. One can put 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. So every Saturday in the afternoon, we drive to basketball. I'm thinking of church, I'm thinking of all the things that need to be done, but I kind of enjoyed it. And I've enjoyed it because I see what God is doing, because unbeknown to me, God put us in that situation because there are some kids in there who need the love of God and the friendship of a fatherly figure. One boy, he's in hiding at the moment because of the way that his dad has gone on in the family, and Pastor Allison was given some confidential information as the team manager. She's the boss, she passes on to the coach. And this little boy, he comes every Saturday, and I now have the opportunity from the tree of life to draw something from this tree to impact this 12-year-old boy's life. He comes, I tell him he's a champion. All men are not evil. Men under the anointing who love the word of God are good people. Tell him he's a champion. And we just love him, we encourage him. Every little thing he does on the court that is remotely 1% good. Well done. That was amazing. Oh, that was incredible. Are you sure you're not LeBron James? And we've watched that little boy just in 4 games now. His countenance changed. When he first came, he wouldn't come and sit with the team because he just felt so insecure about himself, and he would sit on the other side. But now he comes and he smiles, and I ask him, how was school this week? Ah, oh, just school. Oh, that's cool. You're here today at basketball. Because from the tree of life, it produces within us a mark of distinction that is there to impact the world for Jesus. There's another little boy, and this boy, he swears like a trooper. I don't know where he learned how to speak like that, but the problem is, it's how he talks to the referees. So he keeps getting technical fouls. If you're not familiar with a technical foul, it's like in soccer getting a yellow card. You're in trouble. And let's just say he's out of control. He's a good kid. But I'm like, how do I stop this kid from blowing up? Last week he blew up. He got his Powerade. You never do this to Powerade because it's very expensive. He gets his Powerade and he throws it on the court. Now, in basketball, that's like an immediate ejection from the stadium. So he's 12 years of age. I'm thinking, how do I apply from the tree of life? Because I know that God has put us there because I'm going to touch this kid's life with the love of Jesus. So I thought, all right, Brad, you got a tough one here. I can't say to him, let's pray together. That's not going to work. But I know, dealing with young people, I was a youth pastor for 10 years. I thought, here you go, bring on the challenge. I know how to deal with this. In the book of Revelation, Jesus spoke to 7 churches. He encouraged, He corrected and then he encouraged again. Read it. Read it how Jesus spoke to the seven churches. I thought, that's what I'm going to do with this kid. I draw from the tree of life. I sit down with him yesterday before the game because he's got a temper. He's going to swear the referee. They're going to get a tech foul. Then all the other boys on my team, they freak out because getting a technical foul is like getting in trouble from the principal. And so it just affects the atmosphere of the whole team. I sit down with him and I say, you know what? You are a champion player. And in fact, he actually is. Under the basket, he's just got no fear. He pulls down rebounds. He goes ballistic. I said, you are a very, very good player. Absolutely outstanding. You've got no fear under the... For someone who's 12, like, you should be playing in the NBA. Big smile comes across his face. So, but I said, there's something I need to ask you today. Oh, sure, what's that? Coach Brad, that's what they call me. He says... I'm going to do, oh no, see now you're boosting my ego, so I'm going to take my ego to a whole new level now. There's a new Chinese family, right? Can hardly speak English. So we have this Chinese kid, they just recently moved to Australia, and you know, she's one of those exciting mums on the side of the court. Every time her son does something, he's like, thumbs up. It's like, okay, settle down, you know. And so any mums like that in the house this morning? All right, there's a few of you. So she comes up to Allison after the game and she says, oh, coach is very good, very good. And says, did he used to play in the Olympics, did he? Well, Allison had to tell him the truth. But anyway, so with this kid, I said, look, you're brilliant, you're amazing, but I do need to ask you something. When you're feeling upset like that and you want to blow up, you want to swear? I said, I want to tell you this. It's actually okay to be angry. But what I'm asking you to do is not to channel your anger. I didn't use the word channel. That's a bit intense for a 12-year-old. But I'm preaching. I said something else. I said, I want you to come over and talk to me and tell me how upset you are. And then I'll talk to the referee. Guess what? He did that yesterday. And then in the book of Revelation, it's inspire, correct. And then I finished off with encouragement again. I said, and I've got to remind you, man, you are a good player. You are absolutely brilliant. No swearing yesterday. No blowing up at the referees because our value system and the way that we treat people is different to the spirit of this world. I'm not going to be one of those men with some of these kids who, in particular the one child who's in hiding, I want them to have a good experience with a male figure that men are good people. They do believe in young people. They do care and they do champion your future. It's our mark of distinction. Can you say amen? This rhema living, drawing from the tree of life, simply because God said so. It produces results. Number two, it produces powerful results. Look at what Jesus said. Come on, church, you got to grab this verse today. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my, here we go, not logos, my rhema, spire, alive, made alive by God, quickened to you. If you abide in me and my rhema abides in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done. Produces results. So last year as a board, our church board, our board has operated this way. Let me explain it to you very simply. I don't mean to insult your intelligence, but this is kind of how it ran. If $100 came into the church, the board would say, we have $100, where are we going to allocate that $100? What's going to produce the best fruit, etc. But last year, I felt God say, there's a shift, there's a change coming. It's not just about what comes in, that's what we spend. Of course, that's a wisdom principle I'm not saying to anyone to move away from. But we really felt God saying, it's time now for a faith stretch. What's God saying? So as a board, we met And we prayed and we knew that there was a stirring in God for these Nehemiah projects. We had not reached that target in years gone by to be able to not only continue to reduce debt, but to also to fix the basement, you know, a bunch of other things. It's not like we had a frame of reference. It was simply a stirring in God. God said, it's time to step up. It's time to trust. It's time to believe. It's time to know that we can do this in Jesus' name. And so God was calling us to move from the safe zone to the faith zone. It was a risk. We didn't know if it was going to work. And after the Gary and Steve Lamb and Roger Head, who oversee predominantly the finances in the life of our board, well, there was a shortfall. And the shortfall, so we were making an intelligent, wise decision, but the scripture says in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit's the prime mover. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us, not the other way around. It doesn't say it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. Acts says it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us, because the Spirit of God's always the prime mover. The prime mover, the Holy Spirit said, there's a shortfall, but I'm calling you to trust in me. And the board unanimously said, we're going to take this on in Jesus' name. And we're going to believe that God is going to give us the finances to be able to do the Nehemiah projects and, of course, continue to pay down the church's debt. And we prayed, we laid a hold of God, and we trusted. And church, come January, there's a big shortfall. And so, but we knew that God had spoken. And here's the good news. On the first Sunday in January, it was a couple of days later, I get a call from the finance office and they say, Pastor Brad, there's a miracle. I said, I like miracles. I like good stories. They said, someone wrote a check for X amount of dollars and it's come into the offering bucket. And at that time, there was around about a 65, maybe a little bit more shortfall. And this check that has come in has covered the shortfall, and the truth is just a little bit more as well. Because when we draw from the tree of life, because God said he has a plan, he has a purpose, he has the knowledge and the ability to know exactly what's going on, because we felt a rhema word from God. And a rhema word from God produces results. If we draw from the tree of life, it acts as a conduit of blessing. Number three, there's blessing when we draw from what the word says. When we don't lean into the knowledge of good and evil and what happened in the past and whatever a leader did in the past. And so I've got to be careful because that happened in the past. And that experiential teacher, ultimately, it's not God's will. When I was a youth pastor, I remember this lady saying, I'll come to number three in a second. Remember she said to me, her daughter started to fall away from God. And she said, I really don't mind it, Brad, because what will happen is my daughter will have a knowledge of kind of what's good and what's bad. And then she'll make the right choices from there, knowing what's bad. And I said to her, I said, you know what? We love you. Love your family, love what God's done in your daughter. But I said, I've got to let you know what the Bible says. That's the very thing that Satan said to Adam and Eve. You will have a knowledge of good and evil, and the rest is history. God's ultimate method for growth in our lives is the keeping grace of God. The keeping grace of God. Now, God takes those things and he uses it for his glory. That's the kind of God he is. But we want to stay at the tree of life. We don't need to draw from that. We want to stay here simply because God said so. Amen. Number three, the conduit of blessing. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. When we draw from the tree of life, it acts as a conduit of blessing. Now watch this verse. I love this verse because something leapt out at me this week. Simon Peter has this revelation of who Jesus is. He says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Essentially, he's blessing Jesus. But Jesus turns it right around and he says, blessed are you. If you draw from Rhema, if you draw from the tree of life, guess who's the one that's going to be blessed? It's actually you. You're going to be blessed. Your marriage is going to be blessed. Your family's going to be blessed. Your future's going to be blessed. Your finances are going to be blessed. Why? Because God said so. Adam and Eve were given governing authority simply because God said so. I love experience. I'm not against it. There is a verse in the book of Proverbs that says a wise man shall draw from his treasures both old things and new. Spirit-inspired teaching. You know what I'm talking about. This revelation, this atmosphere of blessing, simply because God said so. Sowing of your finances, sowing a seed of faith, continuing to tithe. I might not have the result right now, but God said, do it. Governing authority. Tend to the garden. God will elevate you in his purposes because simply God said so. Maybe your experience has been poor leadership over your life and that's produced in you a fear to be led. Better watch that senior pastor. Better watch his actions. Oh, you know what? We just got to be really careful. Hey, come on, draw from the tree of life. What does the word of God say? That fear will produce in you an inability to come into a working relationship and partnership. Blessing is in partnership, not in the spirit of fear. Don't base it on your past experience. Learn to trust again. Some of us have a fear of expansion. Well, what happens if God decides to expand everything in my life this year? That's a word for someone. What happens if God just decides to expand everything in my life this year? I'm going to draw from the tree of life simply because God said so. This week, I had a choice. I had a choice to draw from the tree of life or from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There was a lovely individual who was very nasty towards Pastor Allison and I a number of years ago. This person lost the plot and decided, and their perception of reality was all over the place. They took the gloves off. They were nasty with their words, undermining, whole bunch of stuff. And I kind of consider us to be easy people to get along with. We're just uncomplicated people. I just choose to be uncomplicated in Jesus' name. I choose uncomplicated friends because that's how I want to live my life, because I kind of think that's how Jesus was. Well, this person just wanted to take complication to a whole new level. And I was like, whoa, this is intense. Well, out of the blue, I get an email on Monday and this person is asking for some help and bits and pieces. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's fleshing out. I'm like punching the computer screen. It's got a cracking in it now. No, I'm joking. It's just all these emotions welled up in me. Because I'm like, you ask for help, but then you're like, and now you want help. And I thought to myself, I could easily delete the email and say it got caught up in spam. I never saw anything. Come on, someone, I'm just being a human being this morning. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it's going crazy because past experience told me, don't forgive, don't trust, don't be nice. They were nasty, so be nasty back. Because that's the right thing to do. Because kind of that's how I felt. Well, thank God for wives. because they're very spiritual people and they carry the anointing of God. And all the husbands said, amen. I'm parked over here. I'm feeling like Mike Tyson in Jesus' name. And I'm feeling justified because he's a God of justice. Forget about mercy, justice. Come on, someone. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Forget about grace, truth that matters. We'll deal with the grace stuff later. Well, I talked to my wife. It's just on Monday. And she says to me on Tuesday morning, Brad, the right thing to do is to bless. The right thing to do is to do what Jesus would do. And I'm telling you, it was hard because I had to write this long thing. And it was like, why couldn't it just been short, you know? Why couldn't it just been like a one-line response, send, see you later, forget about it. It's now in Google World somewhere. It's like half an hour. And I'm like, the knowledge of good and evil is going crazy. What are you doing? The tree of life is saying, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who spitefully use you. In fact, Jesus said that we should pray for them. And I'm at my computer desk upstairs, and there is warfare in my brain, maybe in the spiritual, probably more so in my brain than anything else. And I had to make a choice to be kind, because if I truly have the Holy Spirit, fruit will be accompanied with it, because it's called the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, patience, long-suffering, self-control, and humility. And I thought to myself, I'm mad, Lord, because they were not nice. Because when people hurt my wife, they hurt me. And that's not good in Jesus' name. Because all kinds of crazy things going in my brain. But thank God I don't act on them. But I knew in God the right thing when Allison sowed that word into me. Be a blessing. Be kind. Sow good seeds. Because church, if I choose to stay here, guess who's the one who's going to be in captivity? Me. And I wrote that email. It took me like 30 minutes. And I'm like, incredible, amazing, anointed, full of the life of God. I'm not trying to just make up things. I was genuinely just looking for the good. I just felt God say, look for the good and declare it in Jesus' name. I just look for the good. Because when you think about it, with Simon Peter, he says, flesh and blood is not on this rock. I'm going to build my church. And about 10, 15 verses later, he's saying, get behind me, Satan. Why? Because Jesus speaks to the good. He speaks to that name change, speaks to spiritual potential. I thought, I'm going to declare potential, blessing, and favor. Which tree are you drawing from today? You're living from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Are you living from what they said, what they did, how they treated you? And the fact is, you have a right to be angry. You have a right to be upset because it wasn't good. But God still calls us to draw from the tree of life because it'll produce the blessing that you're looking for in your future and around your family. Father, we just thank you for the word today. We thank you for the tree of life. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you have been so good to us. We receive that today in Jesus' wonderful name. Whilst our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, there may be people that are here today and you've never opened up your heart to God. You've never given your life to Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you today. Today's your opportunity. What you're feeling in your heart right now is God's love reaching out towards you, drawing you unto Himself. I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a simple prayer that invites Jesus Christ to come into our lives, to be our friend, to forgive us of our past and give us a brand new start. I'm going to ask everyone in the auditorium to repeat this prayer after me. Are you ready to pray? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I open up my heart to you. Come into my life, be my friend. Forgive me of my past and give me a brand new start. I ask it today in Jesus' name. Whilst their heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you've never prayed that prayer before or you did a long time ago, but you feel God stirring your heart, saying today's your day, in a moment I'm gonna ask you to lift up your hand. The reason why I want you to lift up your hand is so that I can see you. A few trusted people here at Horizon Church are also helping me to see. So don't be embarrassed. This is your moment. I know I'm speaking to someone today. In fact, there's a handful of you. Today's your day. Give it over to God. Are you ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Lift it up nice and high. I want to pray for you today. God bless you, sir. I really appreciate that. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, who else is there? Who else is there? God bless you. That's great. Lift it up nice and high. That's the love of God reaching out to you right now. Lift it up nice and high. I want to, God bless you. I really appreciate your honesty. That's awesome. We met at the door. Who else is there? Come on, lift it up nice and high. I want to pray for you today. Thank you right up the back. God bless you guys. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I see your hands. Who else is there? Lift it up nice and high. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right now. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Lots of hands going up right across the auditorium. You can put your hands down. Church, are you ready to pray for these people? Come on, don't switch off. Don't switch off. Let's pray right now. Are we ready to pray? Here we go. Father, thank you for these amazing people. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you that the Word of God says, if any of us be in Christ, we are new creations. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We speak that and declare that in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Can we give all of those people who raised their hand a great, great clap?